This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Got to get up. Got to get a getting. Got to get out there early before it gets too hot. And out there where folks are standing around waiting for the Old Trailblazer to come by and give them a word. So here we are this morning at this time, whatever time it is where you live. We were looking in our last study how that the scripture came to the pastor, late pastor one time. He was telling me about it, how that he became alarmed thinking he knew too much. He was a college graduate, seminary graduate, and he began to say, Lord, make me a little child. Do you know what every individual is? Becomes to a little child. Lord, make me as a little child. A little child has nothing. A little child is nothing. A little child knows nothing. A little child has the faith to just trust his father and mother. Now that's what we're speaking of. When I tell you to trust the Lord, my sinner friend, it's just like a child. A child believes what his mom and daddy tells him, and that's what you can do to our Heavenly Father. You can believe the Lord, my friend. You can trust him. You can trust the Lord. Trust him with all you have. But there must be a forsaking of sin, but that's not enough. Just forsaking sin, there must be a laying hold of Christ. Have you ever done that? Oh, my friend, there's no use for you to go on like you have been for all those years. We have folks who have been writing here for years and tell me they're not saved. Folks know enough truth to save everybody in the South Louisiana. You've heard enough the gospel to save everybody, and every one of you have. And it's a question of laying hold of Christ. Let's forget about all of those things, and let's just look to the Lord, my friend. What did the sinner say? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. When old Thomas come there to the room and the Lord said, Thomas, come put your hand here in my side. Look in the print of my hand and tell me. And old Thomas had disbelieved and wouldn't believe. But when he come there, he said, my Lord and my God. Do you know that's whatever individual does when the Lord saves him? He says, you know, all of this time I've been struggling hard with sin, thinking I could never be saved. And right here, the Lord just opens up the scripture to let me see that I'm a sinner and that Christ died for sinners. Oh, my friend, I tell you, there's only two things you need to know to get saved. That is, that you're a sinner. Lord, show you your worthlessness, your wretchedness, and your all of those things that I can't describe, and then show you that Christ died. Did you know that Christ died, my friend? I asked my folks here in my audience, I said, do y'all believe the Bible? Do y'all believe the Bible? And they look at me kind of strange, like and wonder what I'm going to say. And I'm sure most of them say yes. I said, well, you says Christ died to save souls. Don't you know he died to save sinners, my friend? He did. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. He came to save old Trailblazer. Oh, my friend, I just tell you, it's a gracious thing to know the Lord. So let's get back to our study. It's laying hold of Christ. Those Jews there, they were ready to forsake Egypt. They'd turned away from those brick kilns. They'd turned away from the Egyptian gods. They'd turned away from old Pharaoh. They'd turned away from Egypt as a future home, as a type of the world. They'd turned away from Pharaoh as a type of Satan. But they had not turned to Jehovah. They had not turned to him. Now that's what they faced. It was a crisis. It was a crisis in the life of every one of those Israelites. And we see here where the present day religion breaks down. There is preach, believe. They believe. Oh, we believe. They believed that Jehovah was God. They believed that Jehovah was the supreme being. They believed that he was the true God. And there it is every day, today, every day. Believe. And yet, there's no forsaking of sin, no turning from the world, no repentance, no heart change. And there's where the rub comes in. And that's where the rub comes in here, all over this country. You can say what you please. I'll stake my eternal destiny on what I'm saying, that the average Protestant church today knows nothing, preaches nothing about salvation, about knowing Christ. Surely they preach a good, smooth message, but it'll just land you up in hell because it never mentioned forsaken of sin. You know, you'd think that sin would scare a preacher to death. They don't preach about it. I tell my young preachers that I speak to, put a broomstick up your backbone and preach hell off the cross. Go in that pulpit if you're mind to, and set your suitcase down by the side and tell the folks, I'm here to bring you one more message. You're on the road to hell if you don't turn. My friend, it'll get some results. You may get thrown out on your ear, but that's all right. You won't be the first one that was done that way. No, I read in the paper where a young man over there somewhere on the East Coast preached a funeral, and he mentioned that the individual that was lying in the coffin was not saved, and they pulled that man out of the church and flogged him. Oh, my friend, we don't know who's saved and who's not, but we need to be true. I find a funeral is the best place in the world to be true to a group of folks. One thing, they'll never be back. I tell my folks, I'll never see you again. You'll never see me again when I go off somewhere to conduct a funeral. But, my friend, it's my only opportunity to tell them that Christ died to save sinners. So I ask you at this time, you out there, been here in the Old Trailblazer for quite a while, you know, I'm not very articulate. I butchered the King's English up, and I mess up a lot of time. But, my friend, I know how Christ died for sinners. I know how God saves a sinner, and I can tell you that without fear or without quaking in my boots. No, sir, because Christ died for the Old Trailblazer. Just let me tell you just how the Old Trailblazer got saved. Old Trailblazer was a youngster out here in the country, never went to church a day in my life. My family was not religious. We didn't go to church. Kids in school with me, this was back in the 40s, 50s, and kids went to school, church, and my classmates, and they talked about going to RAs and GAs and Sunday school and all that. I didn't know what they was talking about. But anyhow, I got grown and left and went into service and come back, met my wife and married, and she was a religious girl. She was a little Baptist girl, and we went to church two or three times. She wanted me to go with her, and we went one night. And this young preacher was preaching a revival, they call it. And she wanted me to join the church. So I did. I got up, me and another fella, and joined that little old church that night. And they baptized us that night. Had the water hot. And the boy told me, young man, whom I had gone to high school with, told me I was saved. And I thought, sure I was. If that's all it was to it. He never mentioned repentance. He never mentioned turning to the Lord. He never mentioned sin. He never mentioned anything. But listen. I went to start going to Sunday school. First Sunday I went in there, and a group of men, when they got through, had a gentleman preaching, teaching the Sunday school. I come out with them, and when we come out on the porch, they all lit up their pipes and cigars and cigarettes and went to smoking, and smoke boiled out from under the edge of the house like a tar kill. I didn't smoke, and I thought, well, my goodness alive, what's this coming to? Well, nobody saw anything wrong with it. Preacher didn't say anything about it, but you know what? The Lord didn't leave me there. Did you know the Lord could have left me there? Are you saved? The Lord could have left you in sin. Do you ever thank the Lord for not leaving you, not going off and leaving you in sin, just leaving you where you were? You was happy. I was happy. But the Lord didn't leave me there. The Holy Spirit called me. Someone invited me to go hear the late Pastor L.R. Shelton on an old tent out on a Sunday afternoon out in the country. And I went. And I believe the first time I heard him, I knew that he was preaching the truth. And I pretty well knew that I didn't have anything, because he preached the gospel. He didn't preach decisionism, joining the church, shaking the preacher's hand. He preached that Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Look me in the face, point his finger at me and say, are you a sinner, Pendarvis? Have you ever been lost? Did you know you can't get saved until you get lost? You can't. If you can't go back to the time and the place when you took your place as a lost sinner, you can't say that you're saved. Because Christ only came to seek and to save lost sinners. And the Lord saved me under that ministry not long after that. Oh, my friend, what a difference. What a difference in a decision and in looking to the Lord. Looking to the Lord, trusting the Lord, like old Moses did here. But listen, let's go back to our study. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The blotting out of our sin does not become ours until the atonement of Christ is received in our hearts by faith. I say here, by faith, he kept the Passover. God's judgment had been poured out on Egypt. 9 plagues had not changed the heart of Pharaoh. Moses was under the threat of death. The Hebrews were murmuring because he had not made good his promise of deliverance. It was at such a moment that Moses heard from God what he must do. All right, what must I do? Oh, Jehovah, what must I do? Pharaoh is threatening us to kill me, and I can never see his face again. I can go nowhere back there into the court again. All of the children of Israel are murmuring against me because there's no deliverance. And here I stand, no longer deliverance today than when I did when I came back into Egypt. Everything was opposed to human understanding and human reasoning. Why should the mere sprinkling of blood have such a remarkable effect? Why should the people at the last minute be burdened down with such an observance when they all they should be making preparation for their journey? But it was by faith that Moses was enabled to go before the children of Israel and make such an explanation, which meant the securing of thousands of lambs for the sacrifice. And then they must carry out the sacrifice in the minutest detail. What was God? What was God? Just stopped everything right there. Just stopped everything. He just stopped everything right there and said, Moses, you can't go out of here without redemption. You know what redemption is, my friend? You can't leave this land without an atonement. You know what an atonement is? You got to have the shedding of the blood. Now, my friend, we're running out of time in just a moment or two, but I want to go back into this in our next study. What the Lord just stopped Moses and in essence said, there must be the shedding of blood. That's the deliverance. There's no deliverance without the shedding of the blood. There's no redemption. Had Christ not suffered on the cross and shed his blood, you and I could never be saved. Oh, my friend, have you ever think about that? That only the shedding of the blood, the old song that we sang here, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's what happened there that night, that great, gracious night there in the wilderness and in Egypt, and they're on their way to wilderness. Ever home was protected by the shed blood. We'll get into that in our next study. Go back and relate all of that to you. Maybe you've never heard the story of the redemption of the Hebrew children there in Egypt, and how that the father of the home caught up the lamb and kept it up so many days and killed it and put the blood in a basin, took the basin out on the porch or out on the front, sprinkled the doorpost and the side post with the blood, took a hyssop or a sagebrush, whatever he used, and sprinkled that blood there and went back inside. And they cooked the lamb over with no salt, stayed in the house, and at the midnight hour, the death angel passed through. And there was the blood. Oh, he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. It meant he would go around or go over, not stop. Every young person, every firstborn in Egypt, every firstborn there was killed that night, my friend. Oh, if I had time, I could go. We'll do that in our next study. But this is the Old Trailblazer. Remember, my website, radiomission.org. And you can look us up there and you can hear the Trailblazer anytime you would, day or night, just by clicking on that Trailblazer, and then over on the other side, live streaming, live broadcast. And then remember, if you would, Old Trailblazer would like to hear from some of you, especially if you're listening on one of our new stations. You know whether you are or not. And let me know where you're at, whether you're down there in Florida or Oklahoma, wherever you are. And let me know so that I know that our money's being well spent. But remember, my mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my email address, pastor@radiomissions.org. Goodbye and God bless you.